Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. Gab Marcotti will be with us shortly. Later on in the show, we'll be talking transfers with Gab, the possibility of Neymar returning to Barcelona. And Gab will be telling us as to why he thinks it's the right time to sell Mane to Real Madrid. We start, though, with our daily update regarding the coronavirus and how it is affecting football around the world. It was confirmed today that five members of Valencia, three of the team, two of the staff, test positive for the coronavirus. Now, these are the first cases of active La Liga players testing positive. Serie A, meanwhile, now has 10 active players who have also tested positive for the virus. Liga MX suspends all games after completion of the round for at least 2 weeks. That final game is tonight. Brazil suspends all competitions. And the Italian FA president will ask for Euro 2020 to be postponed so they can complete the Serie A season. Gab, let's start with that, shall we? This is all ahead, of course, of that meeting on Tuesday where UEFA will discuss whether or not Euro 2020 will go ahead in its set schedule. I imagine the Italian FA won't be the only ones lobbying for postponement of this tournament.
No, not at all. In fact, there's at least half a dozen other mid to large size FAs who have already signed on, and they want UEFA to look at all the options in terms of postponing Euro 2020. One of the key elements in this, and specifically in the case of Serie A, they do have a plan together, is they hope to get the all clear to keep to start playing again, possibly in early May. And the idea was in those 2 months between May and June, you know, you play out the rest of the season or most of it, perhaps with some modified playoff, to go and complete the season and settle what you need to settle. That might also give enough time to go, or that should also give enough time to go and complete the Champions League, albeit probably not in its current format. Remember, there's several round of 16 ties, which are as yet unresolved. And of course, you would have to move the final currently scheduled for May 30th in Istanbul. But that is the impetus, and that seems to be a compromise solution, which would ensure that we could get some closure. People wouldn't lose out too much financially. But of course, it's all predicated on getting the all clear to start playing again in early May. And we have no idea if that's going to happen.
But in all likelihood, Gab, you suggest for everything we know at the moment, Euro 2020 will be postponed.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a scenario where you can't. I think the only way it goes ahead is if there's a scenario where somehow you can't play football in most of Europe in early May, but suddenly you can in early June. Mm. I think that's extremely far-fetched. I think UEFA have said they're going to listen to their stakeholders, listen to their constituents. There are very few people out there who really have a strong vested interest in Euro 2020 going ahead come what may. I'm talking about, you know, federations, leagues, players union. And I think, you know, ultimately, I think the majority opinion will prevail.
Wayne Rooney is writing for the Sunday Times now. This is just an excerpt of his article saying, well, if coronavirus is as bad as the predictions say, then there may come a stage when you have to decide whether to cancel the season completely. From a player's point of view, if the season has to finish in June, finish in June. The Euros will be cancelled 100%. We're happy to play up until September if the season extends to then. If that's how it has to be, that's our job. As long as we know we're safe to play and it's a safe environment for spectators, we'll play. The next World Cup is in November and December 2022, so you could actually use this situation as an opportunity and say we're going in to finish the 2019-20 season later this year, then prepare for 2022 by having the next two seasons starting in the winter. There are different things the game can look at. Gab, that makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean, I think it makes sense in Wayne Rooney's world, but I mean, I think there are different calendars and different situations around the world. There is a FIFA match calendar with dates that are out there for reasons. Different places around the world have different climates. I think he's right in saying that, you know, and voicing his concern at the fact that, you know, it took Mikel Arteta testing positive for football to be stopped in this country. Absolutely, 100%. And I think he's right in saying that they have to get creative with the calendar. And by all means, look at this play through September thing. But I think when you look at European competitions and the way things are set up, top to bottom, if there is a better way of wrapping this up sooner, while wrapping it up in a way that's fair and everybody's happy with, I think it's probably more advisable.
What do you think?
I'm surprised to some degree that when Rooney was as dismissive as he was about the Euros and say, yeah, they'll be canceled 100%. And it's almost, he might have meant to say they'll be postponed.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of canceled, because this is a major tournament, a major competition. And really, next to the World Cup, the Euros are it. And so you don't just go around saying, oh, we're just going to cancel it, because, as Guy just alluded to, there are many interests and many people that have a piece of that pie in the Euros, and they want the tournament to go ahead. Ideally, it would be as previously scheduled, but probably that doesn't seem realistic now. The postponement of the Euros, I think that makes a whole lot more sense. As to what they do in terms of how far they go into playing the season, I think his larger point is, we want to finish the season out, whatever it takes to finish the season out. But that may not be dependent upon what the players want to do. It's dependent upon what the reality of the coronavirus is. And we don't know where we're going to be. We don't know where we're going to be in May. We don't know where we're going to be in June. And so that changes the dynamics as to how you see and evaluate the current situation.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to go with postponement as opposed to cancellation. But it's no more far-fetched than any of the ideas that we've had so far. It's probably a lot more doable than many of the ideas. The one thing we know for sure is that football has to be rethought as to how you bring a close to this season. And none of those answers are going to be easy. I think this is well worth continued debate.
Go on, Gap.
No, I just want to say, I mean, if you're going to finish the season in September, that's obviously going to impact the European competitions from next year, the Champions League, the Europa League. They generate a lot of money. It's not just all money that goes to big clubs. It's also money that goes to smaller federations that trickles down. This idea that because, you know, you want to finish in September, and so everybody else has to finish in September and play through the summer when it's 40 degrees in Seville or 105 degrees if you're thinking Fahrenheit in Seville in late July. I don't know. I mean, it's a big world out there. There's a reason why the seasons are the way they are. What works for you in the championship at Derby County may not work for all of Europe.
I think what Ray Rooney is talking about is English football specifically,
right?
Not just Derby County in the Championship, and not necessarily about Italy.
But the problem is, it's about the world of football. I have to be on the same page.
I understand that. I'm saying, my whole point here is that whatever we propose, it's going to change. It's going to be a huge change and going to have impacts somewhere along the way. All I'm saying is put this on the table and have those discussions. How do you kick that can down the road in terms of bringing this season's Champions League to a close, finishing off what's left of the playoffs to qualify for the Euros, whether we have the Euros or not? Somebody is going to have their nose put out a joint.
Here's the thing, though, because it feels like when Rooney is talking initially about his situation,
sure,
and the situation in the UK and Derby County and the Premier League and so on and so forth. But then he ties that up to, well, look, this is something that it could be done with leagues preparing for the 2022 World Cup. And so now you've taken what is a local approach to how you finish the season and made it into a global approach. And that's a big jump, because there's a lot of things that need to happen logistically in order for this to become a reality.
Final thought on this, Gav?
Look, I don't mean to be dismissive of Rooney. I think it's good that people talk about it, but you have to look 360 degrees around the world. This is what UEFA are doing by talking to all stakeholders in different leagues. They look at different solutions, but I think the best solution, if it's at all workable, and it may not be, the best solution is wrap up the 2019-2020 season by August 1st, by July 31st, by July 1st, whatever it is, if you can, and then worry about what comes afterwards after. Because I think that has to be the most important thing football-wise once we get a handle on the pandemic.
It is, of course, a very fluid situation at the moment. And keep up to date with all the latest. You can join us as we are with you, of course, every single day.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
There will be a brand new Gab and Jules podcast. Whether you like it or not, it will drop on Monday. Be sure to check it out. Gab, let's talk, shall we, about some transfer rumours, starting off with Sadio Mane going to Real Madrid. Of course, stemming these rumours is the fact that some are suggesting that him and Mo Salah can't get on with each other anymore.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is the whole thing about the relationship between the two. I, from what I can tell, often stems from the fact that one of them's wide open, doesn't pass to the other, and the guy complains, which I think happens quite a lot between strikers. Ali can confirm that. But in the case of these two, people seem to have decided that it means that they don't like each other, and therefore Mane's being punished by being sold to Real Madrid. look, the reality is Mane, Firmino, and Salah are all the same age. You don't want to have three strikers in their late 20s all getting old together. They're all going to get very big contracts. Liverpool know that. And I think for the right price, Liverpool would be happy to sell one of those three. And of those three, Mane is probably the most saleable asset. And Real Madrid need attacking players because the ones they have are either kind of almost permanently injured or they're people that Zinedine Zidane doesn't want, like Gareth Bale. And so all of this comes together and makes sense.
Gav, why is he the most saleable asset?
Well, I think Mane is the most saleable of the three because he gives you a ton of goals, more goals than Firmino, who obviously plays center forward but plays it in a different type of way. He's more of an assist man. I think Mane is seen as somebody who can be dropped into different types of setups. I think there is still a sense, rightly or wrongly, that with Salah, it is sometimes feast or famine. And he's not quite as disciplined. As you know, a lot of people really underrated him before he went to Liverpool, or even after he arrived at Liverpool. And I still think that there's that sense among football purists and scouts that Mane is somebody who's more of a traditional superstar rather than Mohamed Salah.
Reports suggesting, boys, £140 million could be the price tag on Mane.
I think you take that. And listen, you pay £140 million for Sadio Mane. I think it's good business. I think he's an incredible footballer. And you understand why clubs like Real Madrid are interested. And you understand why Liverpool continue to be linked with Timo Werner. Give him all of that. Listen, strikers not seeing eye to eye and not being friendly off the pitch is nothing new. Just look at Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham. As long as they continue to produce on the park, that's all that should matter to Jurgen Klopp and to Liverpool. And they continue to do that. But if a bid that big comes in,
yeah. In the past, Ali, it's a no-brainer. We've seen Real Madrid pick and choose who they want. Has the landscape changed slightly in that if you're Mane, is it a no-brainer to leave Liverpool to go to Real Madrid?
Well, you just have to be very careful if you're Sadio Mane, that you don't fall in love with the idea of Real Madrid and what Real Madrid has been historically, and you forget about the fact that you have something going on right there. right next to you in Liverpool that is working. And it's working very well for you, and it's working very well for Salah, and it's working very well for Firmino, it's working very well for everybody. It's a team that, as it is currently constructed, is going to be challenging for a title next season. And he's going to be challenging for Champions League next season. And he is a critical part to that success. I would argue that Sadio Mane has been the most important attacking player in Liverpool this season. And I can comfortably argue that. So if you're Mane, you don't just leave that behind.
Sure.
And Real Madrid is a huge name, and it's a great target, and it may be a childhood dream. Who knows? But, man, you have something going that is beautiful right now. And to leave that behind, thinking that it's going to be better somewhere else, that's when you have to be careful, because you got something that right now is magical.
I get that. But I still feel that playing for Real Madrid is still the biggest name in terms of who players want to play for in world football. Listen, I know this Real Madrid isn't that Real Madrid of even 2 or 3 years ago. But I still feel it has that attraction. And if you're Sadio Mane, As good as it's been with Liverpool, you've won the Champions League.
Yeah.
Still don't know what's going to happen this season, but let's say you win the Premier League, and at your age, late 20s, Real Madrid comes a calling, you understand why you're prepared to walk away from Anfield.
It's just not always a perfect fit, that's all. Mm-hmm. But for £140 million, it may be a good enough fit. You okay, Chef?
Yeah. Strange noise.
Meanwhile, Mark is saying that sporting director Leonardo at PSG decided that Neymar may be allowed to leave in the summer. $150 million, the price tag that is on the Brazilian. Do Barca even have €150 million, Gan?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. They could certainly, they would, I think they were hoping that they could sell Philippe Coutinho to Bayern and get some of that money back. Otherwise, you look at other saleable assets, they're a little bit thin on the ground, and the reality is Coutinho could be coming back. And so then you need to get a little bit creative in where you find the money, and you need to answer the question, which is, with Messi sticking around, with Luis Suarez sticking around, with Antoine Griezmann sticking around, and I go back to this, with Ansu Fati, you know, getting more and more minutes, what the heck am I going to do with Neymar? Is this where I want to put my resources? I think right now, Neymar almost seems like sort of a political, electoral thing that Bartomeu and others are being kept aside, perhaps to distract them from all the other things that are going wrong at the club.
Meanwhile, a lot of talk about who will be the next Chelsea goalkeeper, because, of course, Kepa, clearly not liked by Frank Lampard. Two names seem to have risen to the top, Gab. You've got Onana at Ajax and Henderson at Sheffield United.
So between those two, I mean, I think, first of all, let me say, Kepa played the last few games, including the game against Everton in the league. It looks like the worst is over there in terms of the relationship between him and Lampard. And I think also from Chelsea's perspective, I think they only give up on Kepa if the relationship with Lampard is indeed healed, and it looks that way, if they have a buyer. They're not going to keep him on the bench. And I think it's very hard because most top clubs aren't looking for a goalkeeper right now. That said, if you had to pick between Henderson and Onana, I would lean Henderson. But you know what? Henderson means you have to deal with Manchester United. We're going to be extremely reluctant to sell him to a Premier League rival. Henderson has said he doesn't want to sit on the bench behind David De Gea. So personally, I think you're better off with Onana. I think that seems to be easier. But I still think Kepa's going to stick around.
Shaq?
Listen, I like both goalkeepers. I think Onana's still a little bit raw and a riskier choice if you're Chelsea. But Henderson, as attractive an option as he may be, Gab is absolutely right. I'm not sure that, Manchester United necessarily want to let him go, give him David De Gea's own struggles. Whether you can get David De Gea off your books is another question that only Manchester United can answer, because they'll probably have to pick up a part of his wages. And if you're Henderson, again, given how good you've been for Sheffield United, you understand why I'm not just going to go back to Old Trafford and sit on the bench while you figure out what you're doing with David De Gea. So it's a tricky one for Chelsea to negotiate, where they're not really holding that many cards.
Sticking with Chelsea and who they could spend money on in the summer, Leon Bailey, £85 million. A lot of clubs chasing him, Gab, but apparently it's Chelsea that's leading the way at the moment.
All right, with all due respect to Leon Bailey, I think these numbers are crazy. $85 million for Leon Bailey when... When Jadon Sancho, who is younger and a lot more talented, in my opinion, can be had for not much more than that. Personally, I see this as one of those stories that gets put out there. Obviously, Chelsea are chasing Jadon Sancho along with a host of other clubs. And all of a sudden, these stories go out, oh, but what if they went for Bailey instead? And then, you know, maybe that lights a fire under some people. But for me, I don't see it. I wouldn't spend that kind of money on Leon Bailey.
Sticking with players that could be leaving Bayer Leverkusen, it's interesting because Peter Boss has come out talking about the future of Kai Havertz and said we can't hold on to him next summer. It will be a transfer of over €100 million. In the business, it's about developing talents and selling them on. With at least €100 million, we'll try to strengthen ourselves in 3 or 4 positions. €100 million, Gabs, a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. He's a very, very talented player. I think he had a rough part, rough start to the really, I'd say that the first 3 months of this year, Leverkusen. He's played a little bit better, I think, since the break. The one thing that gets me, people throwing these €100 million numbers out there, that's what he would have cost last summer, and people passed on him. I don't know that his stock has risen this summer. I don't know. You know, if maybe he makes a contribution to Germany at the Euro, that might be a game changer. I don't even know if we're going to have a European championship, frankly. So, tremendous player, one to watch, but $100 million seems a little bit steep. And I think from Leverkusen's perspective, you're better off hanging on to him another year, let him grow further, and then and then selling him for money. Sell Bailey instead.
Plenty of rumours, I'm sure, for us to discuss over the next few days. You can check us out over on Transfer Talk on the website. Just a reminder, one more game to be played in the 10th round of matches. Cruz Azul taking on Club America. As we record this, that game still yet to kick off. Cruz Azul with a chance to go top of the standings. Well, let's welcome Hercules Gomez, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Herc, that's it for Liga MX. After tonight's game, they will be suspending the league. What was the catalyst? What was the breaking point? Because they seem to be the most stubborn to make the change.
I think outside pressure, the country in general, it's really difficult for Liga MX to make a call when their own president, when their own government are refusing to kind of acknowledge how serious this is. Saturday and Sunday, there was the Viva Latino concert in Mexico City. Over 100,000 spectators Saturday, another 100,000 are expected today. They seem to not be taking this seriously. First, it was 7 cases, then it jumped, and it was Thursday, we're going to continue to play. Friday, no, behind closed doors. Saturday, well, now we're really thinking about shutting this down. And here we are Sunday, it's over with indefinitely. And this really hurts Liga MX because they are a league that's dependent on attendance sales, concessions, the parking, you know, game day sponsorship. So when this shuts down, it's going to really hurt Liga MX.
Meanwhile, looking ahead to the future, 2026, in fact, 2026, 50 teams, 30 from MLS, 20 from Liga MX. John Sutcliffe reporting that this Super League could happen with the two leagues merging, Herc. Is this a good idea?
Let me just say, take that reporting with a grain of salt. A 50-team league between three different countries, I don't even know how you can get FIFA to come on board with that. I don't even know how logistically that would work, why MLS ownerships would want to align themselves with certain owners that they're not 100% sure of. Mexico doesn't even have 20 teams. They have 18 right now, teams that could potentially stay afloat on their own, maybe less than that. It's a good idea in theory of an international competition, of an interleague play, sort of a cup kind of thing, if you will. Like we have the Open Cup, and Canada has a Canadian Cup, and Mexico has Copa MX. A sort of version, if you will, a Super League version of this would be great, but I don't see it being 50 teams. I don't see it happening 2026. I understand where they want to get with this relationship between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. I understand what they're going for. It's what sells. It's sexy at the moment, but there's no chance I see it happening with 50 teams.
Do you like this, Ali?
Nope. I sure don't. Now, I can see from the perspective of Liga MX that they see the market here in the United States, and they feel like, you know what? There's a lot of untapped potential there, and there's a lot of dollars on the table that we can get a hold of if we do this correctly, if we go and market ourselves in a different country. Of course, that opens a windfall of money for Liga MX, and they're saying, you know what? We can take advantage of that. However, there are so many differences between these two leagues. Let's not even go into the details of the fact that MLS is a single entity structure. So everything that happens in MLS with every team in Major League Soccer is an oversight and supervised by MLS. Liga MX doesn't have this structure. And so now what are we talking about? How do we then manage those things coming together? Let's not get into what a 50-team league would look like, because that would be impossible to even consider as a possibility. Let's say that, for example, you now have a Major League Soccer and a Minor League Soccer because you have to break into League One and League Two. How about the new owners and expansion teams that are coming into Major League Soccer that are paying $200, $300 million for a new franchise, and then you tell them, hey, guess what? We got quite a project for you here. You know that Major League Soccer that you signed up for? Not quite. You're going to go to Minor League Soccer. Look, there are so many challenges logistically here that make it so very difficult for me to think that this can be done anytime soon, and certainly by 2026.
Look, you understand why it's attractive to everybody, I think. Liga MX and the U.S. market, and to the U.S. with the continental significance of Liga MX and what it means and what it may bring to the U.S. But as you guys rightly point out, logistically, I just don't see how it can be done in a way that satisfies not just fan bases, but ownerships and how you put this all together moving forward.
Here's the other thing. TV rights. People may not be aware of this, and Hercules can speak to this as well, that TV companies in Mexico have a lot of power into what happens with Liga MX and the Mexican national team. There's a lot of pull, a lot of interest. And now you have TV rights that are going to be up.
Yeah.
And so those people are going to give up some of that power just to accommodate Major League Soccer. There's a multitude of things and variables here that people that make this sort of statements do not take into consideration. Relegation, promotion. How do you establish that in a country in which that doesn't exist as part of the sports culture? In the United States, that doesn't exist. Now you have to establish it. You have to put it in, make sure that people are into that and want that as part of their reality. Well, good luck with that as well. There's so many things here that don't quite add up, other than the fact that Liga MX wants to say, well, we want that money, and the U.S. and MLS, for that matter, saying, you know what? It opens a different market for us. If I'm MLS, I'm not touching that at all because I'm thinking that I can grow on my own. Think of the growth of MLS since 1996 to where we are now. You don't need Liga MX to continue to grow. What you need to do is have success at the international level, have success in the regional competition. But you don't need Liga MX to tag along with you. You can grow on your own if you believe that what you're doing is correct and the steps that you have taken and the structure that you have put into the league are correct.
I'm hearing you think it might happen.
I'm going to go with a solid no.
Meanwhile, the New England Revolution are announcing their all-time team. And who will coach that all-time team? Man of the touchline for us on two separate occasions, 1999 and 2002-2011, remains the longest-tenured head coach in club history, Steve Nichol. Welcome to the Revs' all-time team.
Hey.
Beautiful picture. Wow. And it's my favorite picture of them both.
what a combo package.
What a double team. Obviously, Hurt, you talk to a lot of people who played under Stevie, and everyone seems to have the same sort of gratitude towards him.
There's only one Stevie Nicol. Alejandro could attest to this. You played against those New England teams and maybe necessarily didn't have the best team in sort of where it's a very beautiful style of play, but they were the most difficult teams to play against. Every player knew what that team was about. They knew who they were playing for. They had that Stevie Nicol DNA to them. The most difficult teams you would ever play would be those Stevie Nicol teams for sure.
The Atleti.
I wouldn't go that far. He had some good players, but I think what he did best, Stevie, is that he created a bond and a relationship with players that players would do anything for Stevie.
Right.
The players respected Stevie Nicol to the point to where when it was time to do their job, they would do their very best trying to please Stevie. When you have that connection, it wasn't just, hey, I'm the boss, you're the player. It's, look, yes, I'm the boss, but I understand, having been a player, where you are, and this is what I need from you. And I think one of the things that players appreciate from Stevie is the fact that he is, as we know very well because we deal with him on a daily basis, a very honest man.
Yes.
And players, above all, they respect that from their managers.
I'll only echo who can say, and there's only one Stevie Nicol. Thank God for that.
Yes, there is indeed only one Stevie. By the way, go to ESPNFC.com. Of course, a lot of stories developing throughout the last few days regarding the coronavirus and how it's being treated in this continent and beyond. Be sure to check that out as the news, of course, breaks over the upcoming days.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Just a reminder, if you ever missed a show, want to catch up with some of our YouTube content, be sure to go over to the website and subscribe. Meanwhile, Gab Gallo could be a permanent member of the Manchester United squad. His parent club, Shanghai, apparently asking £15 million for the move to be made permanent.
Yeah, I think the thing to remember here is that Manchester United do not need to make a decision now. In fact, it would make no sense for them to make a decision now. I mean, we saw what's happened when they've made decisions early, vis-a-vis, like, okay, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer today, but one. I don't know that this goes through because as effective as Ighalo has been, you know, you're talking about £50 million for a guy who's 31 years old and who's on a good salary. So it's all about resource allocation. They said they were going to go younger. My guess is that the rational thing to do would be wait and see where you are come June, or indeed whenever the season actually ends and the transfer window begins.
Would you make this move permanent, Shaka?
I would.
Would you?
Yes.
Why?
At 15 million, yes. I think Ighalo's shown enough that he can give you something different. And at that price...
Against the Austrian Premier League side.
That is totally fine. At that price, it works.
Oh, great.
31 years old.
All right, that's fine.
At that price, it works.
All right, I'm fine. There you go. By the way, plenty of stuff from Sid Lowe over on the website. Be sure to check that out. Talking about Fernando Llorente. Whether it was for the love of the game or just to get out of the house, Mark Ogden went to the seventh tier of English football, which is continuing, by the way, despite of the coronavirus. He wrote about his experience over on the website. Be sure to check out the article. Meanwhile, Extra Time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. Yesterday we talked about facial hair with Julian and manscaping, as always, dealing with all the big issues
you
here
did
on ESPN.
You spoke about that with Julian.
Well, we started with your beard.
No.
Not a beard.
Shaq had a mustache at college. Ooh. All right, guys, thank you very much. Back tomorrow.
Why are you looking at me like that?
It was cool.
Welcome to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. I hadn't even noticed it, but we do have new music for Extra Time.
I just noticed that.
People are not happy.
No? With the new music?
Who made the decision to change the Extra Time music? Because it's awful. Go back to the old tune. Let me listen to it a little bit.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh. They brought it up for you.
It's pretty vanilla, isn't it? It's just kind of...
I thought you were in charge of all these
things. Music...
It's not your forte.
I have nothing.
So who makes this decision?
I don't really know who made that decision.
I thought you made the decisions, and who made the decisions?
Lauren, the director, apparently, made the decision.
So this is Lauren's choice? You just throw Lauren under the bus like that?
There we go.
When we have different directors, does that mean that we have different music?
I don't know.
Or has Lauren made the decision?
Has the music just changed?
Does it change depending on the director? People who... No.
Oh,
wow. Lauren's word is final.
Oh,
there we go. Right. Let's move on. Timo Werner or Lautaro Martinez. Who are you having, Gab?
I think then all the caveats depends on price, blah, 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 the team around him. But I would probably go with Timo Werner. I think he's a little more versatile and a little more dynamic.
Mm-hmm. What says you, Ali?
I say Lautaro Martinez. I think he's a better finisher than Timo Werner.
Herc is with us. Herc.
Do you want to know what I think?
No.
What do you think, Shaq?
No, I'm not telling you.
Well, that's selfish.
I'm just going to listen to the music.
Selfish.
Hercules Gomez, where is Cristiano Ronaldo in the all-time list for you? Is he in the Messi, Pele, Maradona group? Is he better than Cruyff, Zidane, Beckenbauer? Welcome to the table.
Wow.
It's a good question. Let's see, Euros, how many Ballon d'Ors if not for Messi? He's definitely up there. I'd put him probably around 5 or 6. I think he's better than Cruyff for my liking. He's better than Cruyff.
But not better than Zidane.
And Zidane.
Oh, so that's 4th then, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
I will go 5th. Let's see. I'm going to go
Simple
Messi's
matter.
Probably the greatest player I've ever seen either. I'm going to go Messi,
okay.
Maradona, Pelé,
yeah.
And then 4...
Brazilian Ronaldo.
I'm going to go with Cristiano.
Shut up, Shaq.
Ronaldo is a great call. And then Cristiano.
It's got to be Brazilian Ronaldo.
He's absolutely right.
So you'd have Brazilian Ronaldo over Portuguese Ronaldo?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. What are you saying? You're jumping into Hercules.
Yes. 5th. I'm agreeing, he's 5th.
He's 5th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Behind who?
The same 4.
But you wouldn't have Messi at number 1.
What's your list?
I don't understand the point you're trying to make here. I said behind the same 4.
Yes, but he had Messi as 1.
It's fifth behind the same four.
Order.
What's your
order? No, I'm not giving an order.
you want to be asked questions and you don't give me the answer.
I give you the answer. The question is, where would you have Ronaldo? And I say 5th.
Right, but then you jumped in when Herc was answering with your Brazilian
Because
Ronaldo
he said 5th and he couldn't think of the 4th.
Well, so you just jumped in.
So I helped him out. That's what friends do.
Oh, you're friends. When's the last time you did anything with Herc friendly?
Just now. I just told him it was 4th.
What are you talking about?
Gamma Conti, the Miami days.
Don't bring up the Miami days.
Oh, yes. Whoa. Well, so much can
we
be said.
We don't talk about Miami.
Oh, it's HR at the door. Right, Gab, what do you think?
I would have Portuguese Ronaldo ahead of Brazilian Ronaldo.
Mm. So was that 4th? Is that what he's saying there?
So I'm
withholding more information because I want to avoid the risk of self-incrimination from some of the people out there. So
is he in the Messi, Pelé, Maradona group?
Whose table is he having dinner at?
Cristiano, yes. Huh? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is in that. Cristiano Ronaldo is in that group with the other 4.
Okay.
With the other 3.
Herc, Cruz Azul against Club America. I want to know who I should support since this is the only football match on today. What's the background between the two clubs? Keep it quick, Herc.
That's easy. If you're a longtime suffering fan in any sport, go for Cruz Azul. If you like cheering for the Yankees of the sport or the Man United's or Real Madrid's, go for Club America. It's that simple.
If the current hiatus continues, then which of the classic matches the crew would suggest for rerun? Trinidad Tobago against Sweden.
That was 2006 World Cup. All-time number one classic.
Yeah.
Football match.
Was it 0-0, Shane?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a 0-0 it was.
What a 0-0.
What a 0-0.
Pretty impressive. Was yours 0-0 as well, Herc? I can't remember that snow game against Costa Rica.
No, mine's not. It was a 1-0. The snow classico. U.S. Men's National Team versus Costa Rica in Denver.
I knew this one. It was.
Well, your high moment was Trinidad Tobago against Sweden, right?
We won 0-0.
Okay, excellent. What about 2006 Open Cup FC Dallas against the Houston Dynamo, where it might have been a low moment for you, given that I scored on you, Shane.
Wow, Shane.
I remember that at all.
Well, maybe we should.
2006, obviously, FA Cup final as well. Mm. One of the best ever, West Ham against Liverpool.
I don't remember that either.
Incredible.
I don't remember that at all.
Steven Gerrard.
I remember that.
Gab?
Yeah. Dan, it's just funny because I assume that at some point Ali would have scored against Shaka, but I'm just wondering, it feels like it's the second time in 3 days that he's reminded us of it. I'm wondering if this is just, you know, coincidence or without having mentioned it for years before that.
Specifically.
He mentions it to me every day, Gab. Every day.
We were asked that very question last time we were together in Exxon.
I'm just saying, you mentioned it a lot. Yeah. You mentioned it a lot.
Gab, all-time greatest matches that we should be re-watching? Good question.
I think a lot of this depends who you support.
Yeah.
I think from the neutral's perspective, the historic match, also named by FIFA as the greatest ever, would be the semifinals of the 1970 World Cup between Italy and Germany. Won't tell you how that finished, but I think most people enjoyed the ending. None of us were born back then. It's definitely worth checking out. From a neutral's perspective, I was there. The AC, unlike 1970, of course, but the Istanbul final between AC Milan and Liverpool had just a ton of drama. And talk about ebb and flow, games going one way, the other way. I think that would definitely be up there. Also, the Real Madrid Manchester United game, the one at Old Trafford in 2002, I want to say, the one which I think
the Redondo
3-1 or something or 4-2. That's definitely up there with the original Ronaldo doing the show.
You mean the guy that you put below Portuguese Ronaldo, that one?
Yeah,
I grew up obviously.
Good, Dad.
Liverpool, Newcastle, those 4-3s. Yeah. Did you play in any of those?
I played in one. It was three back-to-back. It was 3-4-3s back-to-back.
That was unbelievable.
I played in the middle one.
Hanging over the advertising
boardings.
That was at
Anfield.
They're really good.
Mm. That was the 95-96 season. Yeah.
How about Argentina, England, 86 World Cup? You like that one? That was a good one. No?
Wow, that's not very nice.
I'm just saying.
What about Venezuela's World Cup games?
Oh, hey! There he is! Well done. Wow. Excellent. Well, hey, all I'm trying to say, Maradona scored a nice goal. That's all I'm saying.
This cabin man.
Wow. Needly.
Wow.
Hercules, who is the most underrated player on MLS?
Ooh.
My head says right now it's going to be Nico Lodeiro, but I'm going to go with Eber of New York City FC. He's got something like 23 games played and 18 games scored. Behind Joseph Martinez, who unfortunately went down with an ACL, he's my number two in that golden boot race.
Should Alisson have finished third in the Ballon d'Or instead of Van Dijk, Shaka?
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday, serves me correctly.
Yes,
and you were incorrect.
Why? Steven admitted that Alisson is more important than Van Dijk. Steven said that.
That's because Stevie is not over what happened in Champions League just yet. He has that fresh in his mind.
I also think goalies are more important than everybody else, but that's, you know.
Right.
You've been very moody today.
Let's
Jack.
Talk literature.
No, Dan, keep telling me to shut up.
Let's talk literature, shall we?
Oh, goodness
boy,
me.
Here we go.
What's a good football book to read during all this downtime? Gab Marcoli, I imagine yours are still available, imagine in the bargain basement, even on Amazon.
Ooh.
I will mention one of my own books, The Italian Job, which I wrote with Gianluca Vialli. Not a biography, but a journey to the heart of two great footballing cultures. Other books, obviously, Nick Hornby resonates with a lot of people.
Yep.
If you like your tactics, go with Jonathan Wilson's Inverting the Pyramid.
Also, of course, 5 league titles, yep, and a pack of crisps. Stephen Nichols, very good book as well, actually.
Yeah.
Zlatan mentioned Shaka in his book, so may as well read that for fun.
Well, read that page, anyway.
Hercules, any books that you recommend?
Pep Guardiola is Another Way of Winning. That was a good book.
Oh.
Probably the last book on football that I've read.
Very good.
Ali?
Soccer Economics. I'm telling you.
It's called Soccernomics.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Gab.
Ali, I don't want to get people muddled between, you know, the many books out there called Soccer Economics and Soccernomics. Hey. All of them written by the same guy.
Thanks, Gab.
We're going to kill each other. It's going to happen.
I needed that correction.
It's all going to happen.
That made my day.
Reciprocate what's happening in houses around the world.
It is an interesting book, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Tony Adams' book is very good as well, by the way. Okay, that is it. ESPN FC is back.
Do you want to know what book I'm reading? I'm going to tell you now.
What is it being at home with all your children and your wife? Making you this
Did you even have to work today, or did you just come to work?
That's it. We will be back tomorrow for more of this.
I'm coming in.
Be sure.
I'm coming in.
I'm in tomorrow.
It's going to be a full studio.